Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins lead the 2016 Stanley Cup Final 1-0. That's right, the Pittsburgh Penguins are now 3 wins away from being crowned champions yet again. Penguins holding on, and holding on kind of is right, to win game one of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final 3-2. Jumped out with 2 quick goals early in this game by 2 rookies, and I believe from where I read a stat, this was the first Stanley Cup Final game to open up, meaning game one of the Stanley Cup Final series, to open up the series with 2 rookies scoring the first 2 goals since 1924, which is actually before the NHL exclusively was playing for Lord Stanley's Cup. So Lord Stanley was offering the cup to not just NHL teams. We're talking about other leagues and outskirts of Canada, et cetera, were able to play for technically the Stanley Cup for the hockey championship of the world. Stanley Cup is now obviously exclusively won and owned by the National Hockey League. It's not even really the NHL playoffs. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we're down to 2. We're down to the Pittsburgh Penguins, of course, looking for their 4th crown of the Stanley Cup, and the San Jose Sharks in their first ever Stanley Cup final after 25 years of existence, looking for their first. But the Sharks now need 4 more wins. They need to rebound from trailing in this series, which is possible, while the Pittsburgh Penguins need only 3 more victories. They defend home ice in game one. They need to do it again in game two, then try to get something going on the road, come back home and lift the cup, which could potentially be the first time ever clinching a championship in the Stanley Cup on home ice. Their other 3 have both been won on the road. But where the cup is won is pretty irrelevant to most of these guys. They just want to win it, and they got to win. That's how you win a Stanley Cup final game. You get going early. You jump on them early. You hang on through a tough stretch because you know there's going to be a tough stretch when you're fighting for a championship. The other team's trying to. They're a very, very good team, too, are the San Jose Sharks. And then you ignite yourself late, do what you have to do, and win the game, as the Pittsburgh Penguins did in game one, and as they hope to do the rest of this series. And if they do, they will be Stanley Cup champions. But so far, we're talking about game one of the Stanley Cup Finals and a 1-0 Pittsburgh Penguins series lead, winning that game 3-2. This is the Pens Initiative Radio PI postgame show, the Game 1 2016 Stanley Cup Final Edition. I am your host, Mike Osby, and I'll be with you to analyze and provide you with the asinine commentary of this Pittsburgh Penguin Game 1 win. I may or may not be joined by somebody with PensInitiative.com. Maybe even I'll get a caller or two. Maybe even Bryce from Brooklyn will join me, and if he does, I will bump him with some more notorious B.I.G. But in all seriousness, there's not much that's asinine about that game one win. Yes, the Penguins had the rocky road in that second period that was something to be desired, but it wasn't like they were horrendous. The Stars did not come alive in this game, but they also played relatively well. Malkin and Crosby could have got going, could have got goals. They just didn't find the back of the net. San Jose Stars did probably outplay the Penguins Stars in terms of the stat sheet, as Marleau was able to score. But it doesn't matter if you don't win the game, and role players lead to championships in terms of great role players leading to those championships like the Penguins had in 2009, 2008 when they were in the Cup Final. Those years, Maxime Talbot, a role player, was in attendance for this game, was able to give them big goals to help them win. It was all about the role players those years, despite Crosby and Malkin and the Stars We're seeing that again in these playoffs. It's about the role players. Bonino, Trevor Daley when he was healthy, Hagelin, Rust. Even Matt Murray could be argued to be a role player because he had to emerge himself from a veteran franchise goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, stabilize himself as a starter after Fleury took his job midway through the Eastern Conference Finals, and now Matt Murray has a game victory under his belt in a Stanley Cup final. So 10-plus wins is now counting in terms of historic win total for a rookie goaltender, first time through for a Stanley Cup playoff run for him, and now he's 3 wins away from being a champion himself. And more importantly, this Penguin team, they started off flying. They started giving you the energy and tenacity you want to see. They had the experience edge, of course, with several players that have won championships before and even have longer playoff runs under the belt going into this series throughout their careers, whereas San Jose has many veteran, long-tenured players in this league, but a guy like Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, who both have skated around for 150-plus playoff games without a Stanley Cup final game under the belt before tonight's game one. Neither one of them champions. Neither one even playing in a Stanley Cup final before this game. Joe Thornton looking at 20 years in the league. So they maybe don't have this experience. Both teams got the depth. Both teams have the defense. Both teams have the stars. Maybe the Penguins have the edge in role player, because goalie also might be a wash. Penguins might have the edge in terms of overall depth, bottom six depth, and role players. They might have the edge there. That is why they won that game one. Role player edge is why they're able to win that game one when you saw the Penguins pick up clutch goals by guys you wouldn't expect. Guys that you wouldn't put money down are going to score those big goals, but they're the guys that have throughout history. We said Maxime Talbot throughout all these shows has been that guy in Penguin history, and you wouldn't have expected it going in to those playoffs. Darren McCarty with a cup-clinching goal for the Red Wings in 97 with all those Hall of Famers. You wouldn't have expected that. It's Fedotenko is, again, one you can point to throughout history, and the Penguin fans know him well. It's how teams win. It's what leads the championship. It's not always going to be the Lemieux and Crosby. Mary Lemieux never with an overtime game winner in his entire career in the postseason. Crosby with one, and it was these playoffs. But yet, championships have been won by those guys. Why? Yes, they had to play well. Yes, they had to play well enough. And yes, if they're not playing well, you can get mad at them. You can expect more from them. All valid. But you need more. It's a team. A team wins you a championship. And this Penguin team, which is why they're so different than the playoff disappointment teams that have lost since 09, they are a true team in every sense of the word. The depth of this team, the maturity of this team, the fact that anybody can get going and dominate a period for you. Any line can do that. The HBK line, that's a third line for the team, and that's been their best team throughout the playoffs, the most famous line, tagging with Shawn Michaels' involvement. That wasn't Crosby. That wasn't Malkin. Yes, it was Phil Kessel, who was a sensational all-star brought in the offseason to help this team, and he's been one of the better players for Pittsburgh in this playoff run. But Hagelin Bonino, you wouldn't expect, and Bonino gets a goal here. So, again, the role players seize the day. It's carpe diem for the Pittsburgh Penguins, thanks to role players leading them to a championship. Add that as a soundbite, by the way. You know you have the radio experience when you know as you're saying something, this is a radio soundbite, this is going on a commercial, this is going on a bumper. This is what a producer is going to want. So right there, the Pittsburgh Penguins role players carpe diem them to a championship. And if the Penguins lift the cup, if they lift Lord Stanley, if they sip on some brandy, and if they do it for 3 more wins, you're looking at that line maybe living in infamy. For Pittsburgh Penguin lore, well, this team could. I am going to bump some music. Talk about a bumper. I am going to bump some music, and I'm going to do it bobbing my head to a Pittsburgh Penguins victory after game one of the Stanley Cup final. Penguins winning 3-2, 2-0 lead early, thanks to two rookies, two role players you again wouldn't expect, but the role players leading them to potentially a championship. hanging on through a stretch of stars dominating for San Jose and a bad period for Pittsburgh, and then getting one late, doing what they had to do to win a clutch Stanley Cup final game. Nothing's guaranteed just by winning game one. The Penguins lost game one against Washington and still won the series. But you much rather win than lose. You much rather hold on to home ice than not. And the Sharks now need to win game two to split and do what they had to do on the road, whereas Pittsburgh is then going to look to do the same thing when they're on the road. But this is, again, the advantage of having home ice, which the Penguins want to cling to, the Penguins want to own, the Penguins want to know, and the Penguins want to do what they got to do to win these games and become a champion. And that's exactly what they did in game one. So don't worry about the ratings. Yes, they might not have been amazing. Yes, game seven of the Western Conference Finals in the NBA is going on right now. Yes, you got to deal with WWE Raw. Yes, you got to deal with The Bachelor. Yes, you're probably not going to win the ratings. I imagine they were fourth in all of those, and you're looking for a championship here for the NHL, where the NBA is not even yet there, and they're looking at a game seven, and that's what they're dealing with right now, late in that game seven, as we're speaking, Golden State pulling away. And that game's still going down the wire. I see a four-point game right now. We're looking at Golden State leading late in 2 minutes left in the fourth. But I'm not going to give you the score update in that NBA game seven, since this is our, you know, you're probably listening archive. Even if you're listening live, you might be watching it. So mute it, listen to me post-game of the NHL Stanley Cup final game. But don't worry about the ratings right now. I agree with you. The NHL has marketed themselves poorly. I agree with you. The ratings aren't going to be good. But none of that's important right now. If you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, which I'd expect you are by listening to this broadcast, you got to be happy. You're up 1-0. You need 3 more, and you're a champion. That's all to worry about. Penguins win game one of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final 3-2. They lead in the 2016 Stanley Cup Final series 1-0. They are fighting for the NHL's version of gold, and that is the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup. I am Mike Osti, and I will continue and strive to bring you my version and my brand of gold, and that is Radio Gold right here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. This is game one of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final Radio PI post-game show. Back with you after this. Enjoy the win. Background, we're going to fade that one out. Pittsburgh Penguins win. They win game one of the 2016 Stanley Cup final. They lead the series 1-0. And as the Golden State Warriors look to be celebrating, as they're going back-to-back NBA finals, we're going to have the exact same NBA final. Cavs and Warriors, back-to-back year, just like the Penguins and Red Wings went back-to-back in the NHL in 08 and 09. Have the same thing. We have a different result like we did in that Red Wings Penguins back-to-back finals. We had the Warriors winning last year, but they got the wins record this year. Wins record in every single sport. What a stat this is. Wins record in every single sport with the Warriors, the team now trying to buck that trend, has not led to a championship. The 0-1 Mariners lose in the ALCS. 0-7 Patriots, 18-1, lose the only game of their entire year for the Super Bowl versus the New York Giants. Detroit Red Wings lose the 95 Stanley Cup final despite winning a couple years later to break their drought. They lose the New Jersey Devils. Surprise, surprise. Warriors will get a crack at it. But what the Warriors are doing, what's going on in the NBA right now is a moot point because this show is about hockey, and this is the NHL's opportunity at crowning themselves the champion. Penguins 3 wins away. Penguin team has come so far in really a short amount of time. People are focusing so much on they've come so far in 6 years and 7 years since 09's title, having to rebuild, having to change regimes of a head coach and a general manager, having to deal with Jim Rutherford getting so much flack coming from Carolina to Pittsburgh with the short bridge, realizing he's not going to be here forever, wanting to win now, but also some fans wanting to preserve talent later, feeling like he didn't do it the right way early on. Him having to silence those critics by what the team's done so far this year, leading himself to a third cup final, looking for a second ring as a GM. Mike Sullivan taking over as head coach mid-season. For Mike Johnston's first tenure as NHL head coach, only about a year and a half, year and a quarter. You could argue it was an unfair position. You could argue it was a lose-lose position. It was a team that was so much pressure and so much talent, he probably shouldn't have had it. As his first job and might not have been ready for it, and it's probably better that he moves on, really. Mike Sullivan comes in, some maybe concern early because the wins weren't happening, even while the system was showing that team was improving, that system kept showing consistent signs of improvement. They kept at it. The wins then eventually showed up, but then Marc-Andre Fleury gets hurt after he finally went through years of being polarizing, whereas this team was so good they were making up for his errors. Then the team wasn't as deep. His errors then came to light. He lost them some playoff series. He caught some criticism from the fans, some hatred from the fans, really. Eventually reclaimed his position, reclaimed his fanfare, became an elite goaltender again, got away from the critics. The team really was then collapsing. Then finally, the last year or so, the team was so good, they were getting deeper, so was he. All came together. Then you see the injury from him, and more people are rolling their eyes. But Matt Murray is able to emerge, able to stabilize an injury for him too, with some criticism there and whether he should have started a meaningless game against Philadelphia at the end of the season. He's able to come back from that. They win a game with Zakov as a starter. He comes back 22 years old, turns 22 throughout these playoffs, ends up with rookie historic type performances, now has a win in the Stanley Cup final game, able to continue to be the starter after Fleury takes his job for a game. It leaves question marks about the future, what you do with Fleury, what is Fleury's legacy. But right now the present is Matt Murray, and the future seems bright with Matt Murray in net for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It actually leaves a lot of optimism. Not only do you have one win and you're looking at three more to be a champion, but Mike Sullivan you have confidence in for the future. You have a goaltender you have confidence in for the future, how young he is. This team's not going to have as much turnover as they hit after 09. They're so deep they can even afford to have some more turnover than they did after 09. Kessler comes over. Malkin, Crosby, and Kessler are going to be together for a while, you'd hope. Really, and that Kessler addition has been what they had with Marian Hossa in 08, then they lost and didn't have with Hossa when he went to Detroit despite losing to them in the Cup Final. Then going to Chicago, we saw the dynasty Kane, Taves, and Hossa in company with the Blackhawks winning three Cups. Maybe if Hossa would have stayed with Pittsburgh, that would have been theirs, but that's all for a hypothesis. That's all for what if. What if scenarios are annoying. I hate what if scenarios. What is realistic is Phil Kessel has been that guy after all these years, now, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And what that could mean by giving him his first championship and his first Cup Final after so many years of mediocrity and being a star player with a team that didn't appreciate him, a fan base that didn't appreciate him, a franchise and media that didn't appreciate him, and really a team that wasn't good enough for him. And that even goes back to the Bruins before they eventually traded him, and they then got really good, but after he left. Toronto had a little bit of time being decent, but blew a playoff series they should have otherwise won, and otherwise than that, was nothing to write home about. Comes to Pittsburgh smiling, flashing those pearly whites as the Penguins now have three more wins and become Stanley Cup champions. So once again, if you're just tuning in and you are missing out, really tuning in to me is almost irrelevant. Tune into these games and watch your Pittsburgh Penguins en route to what could be another championship in a really memorable and historic year. And really everything it's meant and everything I just articulated there and then some. Through the roller coaster ride that's not only been this season, because it's been an asinine roller coaster ride this season. We talked about that, Brian and I, on our last postgame show here to wrap up the Eastern Conference Finals and preview this Cup Final for Game 7, but also the culmination of, we're looking at 7 years now, and different eras of Penguin hockey. That with the age of Crosby Malkin could still lead to several more championships. Don't shut the door yet. Nothing's guaranteed. We know that. But one more silences those critics that were ridiculous in the first place. But there could still be more to come. The Sharks have some more aging players and players that really need to win now, more so with Thornton and Marlowe that have had 20 years about getting there and really have more of a sense of urgency. The youth is still on the Penguins side, even though those star players are getting towards the end of their prime. But they're still younger than the star players in San Jose. So if I got to pick which one of these two teams is back next year, I'd probably still even lean Pittsburgh, even though the Eastern Conference might finally have the pendulum shift in being the deeper conference, who's better is maybe an argument for another day. Nobody yet on the hotline there, but I don't even need anybody. I've done these shows with my lonesome before, and really the point of this is just to get the postgame coverage, just to get on air, let you know what happened, really talk about it from my own perspective, give you my article of sorts on the air verbally. I do have a good degree in journalism. I say it's a degree in BSing both verbally and linguistically. So I touch the pen every now and then, but you're mostly getting the radio gold from my golden pipes. Pineapple-fueled golden pipes, of course. But your Pittsburgh Penguins take the two early goals, two goals by the Sharks tie it, and then one late. Penguins win game one in Pittsburgh. Rust Sheary. So that's two rookies. First time since 1924, two rookies open up the scoring in a Stanley Cup final series in game one. And then Bonino, the HBK line, 17-27 of the third period in game one, gets what becomes the game winner in game one of the Cup final for Pittsburgh. Thomas Hertl, who many will remember from the asinine hilarity fame of years ago when he scored a hat trick early in his career, and Joe Thornton said he wishes he would have whipped it out, or next time that happens, he'll whip it out in celebration. Well, he didn't get to whip it out in this one because Joe Thornton can whip it out all he wants for getting to a Cup final for the first time in his career, but he yet to be able to whip it out for a win in a Cup final game. And Thomas Hertl has many, many more years in his career. You'd figure maybe getting back here once or twice more. But he has a goal. Brent Burns with the assist on that one. Brent Burns, another one. Brent Burns playing a great game. So Logan Couture, also a young player for San Jose, maturing and helping to lead this team. He'll lead this team whenever Thornton and Marleau are done. Marleau with that second goal for San Jose. So the Sharks 2-2, you really got to figure, when it was 2-2, this is why the Sharks are now in the Cup final. They've had many great Sharks teams, many great Sharks teams on paper that might even be better than this team. What Jones is doing in net for the Sharks cannot be understated, but they had Evgeny Nabokov. He had Niemi, who's won a cup with Chicago, but Nabokov never won a cup, never was a goaltender in a Cup final, but might have been one of the better goaltenders the last 10-plus years to never play in a Cup final because he'd given you a 70-start season with 40-plus wins consistently, and then they would flame out in the playoffs. They blew a 3-0 series lead a couple years ago to the eventual Cup champion LA Kings. If that Sharks team would have won that series, they would have had the roadmap just like they had this year. They might have been in the Cup final that year. You don't know if they would have won championships or not. You don't know if they would have been able to get to a Cup final or not. But those were great Sharks teams. Joe Thornton will probably tell you this might not be the best Sharks team he thought going into even a postseason. The results would indicate. Yet, they're there now. The Blackhawks teams were eliminated early off of maybe running out of gas from the last few years and all the Cups and long playoff runs they had. But the map was kind of there for them. They were able to seize the day, give them all kinds of credit. They're still a very good team, but also a different Sharks team in the aspect of they don't get too low. They don't hang their heads. They play with that maturity. They play with that confidence throughout. They know they can come back in games. They know they're never out of games, and they no longer would have those spurts where, oh, they lose the first two goals of a game. All of a sudden, it's over. You don't feel like this Sharks team is going to blow a 3-0 series lead. This Sharks team could even come back from being down 0-2 in a series. And if they lose game two of this Cup final, they would be down 0-2. But going home, it wouldn't put it past them to come back or make that a longer series than normal, even against a team as talented and as good and deep as the Pittsburgh Penguins are. So this is a different Sharks team. I will say this. You want to win game one. The way the Penguins won game one is awesome. They did what they had to do. It wasn't Crosby, Malkin. It wasn't even that much Kessel. It was the role players. It was Murray, again, doing enough. Doesn't have to stand on his head, but giving you enough to win a game. And they were to get that clutch goal late, holding a lead. Late. Granted, didn't hold a 2-0 lead, but holding the lead late the last few minutes. We've seen them relinquish those leads in the last few minutes. And only one bad period or below standard period. That was the second. First and third, not that way. They've had two bad periods in some of these playoff games, even while still winning. The talent has really been able to rise to the top for the Penguins throughout these playoffs. But there is a sense of positivity when you win a game like this, thanks to the role players. You could argue if you're a San Jose fan, the Penguins stole this game because it's all role players scoring, whereas San Jose stars were clicking on all cylinders when they had to. And they might have had momentum, and they might have had the confidence figuring they were going to take this and steal one after they tied it 2-2. You know, some Penguin fans were scared and rolling their eyes. So, for the Penguins to still get the win, it got to leave you feeling pretty damn good. And winning is all that matters once you're here in the Stanley Cup Final for a championship in any sport. But if you're a San Jose Sharks fan, to give you a glass half full take, because maybe you're listening to the opponent's post-game show. This did tell me this is probably going to be a long series. And no matter what side you're on, no matter where you are in media, no matter whether you're a blog, a podcast, a radio show, a TV show, national, local, whatever, or even just simply a fan. Homeristic or otherwise, too. Logical or otherwise. You're still figuring, and everyone almost unanimously predicted this was going to be 6 or 7 games at the least. I didn't see anybody, really. Not many. I didn't see anybody saying sweep or 5 games. Maybe all the games will be close. Maybe it'll be a gentleman's sweep and all the games will be close, but the Penguins will somehow hang on and win. Nothing's out of the question. Possible. But I highly doubt it based on game one, because the Sharks, as I said, they showed that maturity. They show why they're different than past recent Sharks teams in the Thornton and Marlowe era, why they're finally in now the cup final, and why they can come back and win games even when they give up those first 2 goals so early. And that the San Jose Sharks could easily still win this series, even losing game one. We've seen that before in cup final history. And also why, even though the Penguins now have the edge, they had the lead in the series and still going to game two at home, which can really start bearing you up 2 games to none, even though anything still can go. But it's going to be a long series. And the Sharks can easily win one on the road. Their place is going to be rocking at home for a cup final game for the first time ever, and that is a great fan base that now gets to taste some Stanley Cup final home games. They've seen California win. Some of their friends in recent neighboring cities have won with Anaheim in 07 and the Kings in 2012 and a couple years ago, 2014. So 3 in the last 10 years in California. And a cup final also in 93 in California, as well 2003 on losses by the Kings and Ducks. But never before by the Sharks. So in the past 30 years, you're looking at California Cup Finals, you're looking at California Cup Championships. Not by Sharks fans. And some could argue the most rabid of all those fans. LA fans are now getting into it for the Kings, but it took winning to do that and get the Hollywood crowd there. Same thing really with the Ducks. It's already fading after a few playoff disappointments. And they don't really have the fanfare that, say, the Kings would have. But the Sharks, they don't have the celebrities. They're not as cool. They got more of the hockey fandom. And they got the rockin' house, similar to what the Golden State Warriors had in the NBA. So many years of futility and being an average franchise, but great, great, rowdy fans finally got their due last year when they won the NBA championship. And even this year, 73-9, the regular season, back in the NBA Finals. We'll see what they do for you again in that championship-level atmosphere. And how about Northern California? Golden State Warriors back in the NBA Finals, and the San Jose Sharks will have a home game. They're going to do that on the same day. They're going to own the sports world on one day. So give it to them there in Northern California. But right now, the Warriors have a championship and maybe another one, whereas San Jose Sharks are still looking for their first, and they need to win one to do that. They're 4 wins away, while the Penguins are now 3 wins away, winning game one of the cup final in 2016. 3 games, and the Penguins are cup champions. 3 more wins, and the Penguins are cup champions. 3-2, your score in game one. And I hope you're enjoying my spewing of my hot takes, putting you on the spot here. These takes are scorching and on fire for you. And, well, the Penguins can relate through game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. So the Penguins win game one of the Cup Final 3-2 and lead the series 1-0. I am going to, once again, throw some tunes on your dial and come back and wrap things up. This has been fun. That's a nail on the head. The team's much better. The team's deeper. This has been fun. Last couple years, these post-game shows, win or lose, they weren't always fun. Even losing in these playoffs, the fun's still there. The fun atmosphere is back. It's no longer that country club atmosphere with the slow golf claps on a goal, because the championship or bust and you're so stressed out, and then throwing a chair and screaming and hooting and hollering when one bad play happens against you. Now, this Penguin team has the maturity. They realize they need to do this now, but they also realize they're good enough to do this now. They realize maybe the sense of urgency is there, but also the world won't come to an end if they don't, because they're that good they could be back next year they realize that you're not going to win a championship every single season. Dynasties might not even be possible in this era. They want to do this now, but they're having fun doing it, and that really, really is important. And the fun going on the ice trickles down to the fans, trickles down to outsiders, going to Shawn Michaels going to games, Pittsburgh Pirates, Garrett Cole there, Steelers there, Mike Tomlin there, Brett Kiesel there. Those guys are having more fun than they were years ago watching Penguin games at console in the playoffs. HBK wasn't around years ago. He's having fun. The fans are having fun. The team's having fun. The media's having fun. I'm having some fun. Let's keep on with the fun. Penguins nail one down and lead the series 1-0. Pittsburgh Penguins trying to claim the NHL's version of gold. They're looking for that Stanley Cup to come back to Pittsburgh. I'll keep trying to bring you the radio gold. I am Mike Ossie doing it for you. Flying solo this evening. Right here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. When it's time to party, we will party hard.
I make them shiver, they need to get weak, when They see me walk. They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. Just a sexy boy.
I always wanted to be let in by some Shawn Michaels theme music, some sweet chin music, some sexy boy. Can't even say that, though, with a straight face. And I finally now accomplished that, just like the Pittsburgh Penguins are trying to accomplish another Stanley Cup championship. Penguins win Game 1 of 2016 Stanley Cup Final, three games more like that one, and they will be Stanley Cup champions. They win Game 1, three to two, your score, three more games, and they win it. And this is the Pens Initiative Radio PI post-game show. I'm Mike Gosty, and yep, that's crickets. It's just me flying solo for this one. I'm going to wrap things up here, though, soon enough so I can go to bed, and maybe we will set our own personal record and finish out a post-game show in these playoffs before the clock strikes midnight, since the NHL has not been friendly to that with these 8 p.m. plus start times. And I will do my diligence to stay up for you till 2, 3 in the morning if need be on the East Coast, time-wise, when this series goes to San Jose. Because I'm a vampire and, well, I don't really need sleep. I do kind of need sleep, so I'm about to take some sleep here in a minute. Before I do, you really got to hit on the fact that this Penguin team is, again, so different from the last few years, thanks to these role players, and you need role players to win a championship. Everyone keeps stressing, oh, I need more from Crosby and Malkin, and yes, yes, maybe you do. Granted, Crosby should have silenced those critics in the Eastern Conference Finals with three-game winning goals. Malkin might not be 100%, and Kessel's giving you plenty. So those critics aren't as valid right now as we sit through Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, but you can be amazed at what this team is doing without those stars dominating or being the best as they can be, since they are best-in-the-world type players throughout these playoffs. But it really speaks to the depth of this team and how these role players are doing this, and they're the unsung heroes through this entire playoff run for the Pittsburgh Penguins, in addition to Matt Murray, who's doing this as a rookie goaltender with 10-plus wins in his Stanley Cup playoff run by a rookie goaltender, only the 10th guy ever to do that. It's just really incredible. And fans, you got to soak this up. You got to enjoy this. Win or lose this series. You got to really relish Stanley Cup final berth, because as much as, yes, Kane and Taves got three rings apiece, Malkin and Crosby now are in three cup finals as well. They've been in the same amount of cup finals. So it's not even just about those stars, though. I don't even really want to let that cloud anything, because Taves won one of his cups with barely double digits in points throughout that playoff run. It's about the team. And yes, the stars need to do more, and yes, the stars are giving you something, and yes, the stars can pick you up, and yes, the star like Crosby can give you a game-winning goal when you need it in an important series, in a big moment. But it's really these role players that come together. They galvanize, for my favorite broadcast term, together. And they're the players that often you remember in playoff lore and have those murals and posters on those walls at arenas and in your bedroom for moments to win you championships and leading towards championships. It's often those role players. It could be that again this playoff run, and it most likely will be that again this playoff run if the Penguins seal this deal and finish it out and win. I would remiss, though, if I didn't bring some negativity to this broadcast, like to do, and play devil's advocate just a bit. The Sharks only need one win, which could be Game 2, on the road to do what they had to do in Pittsburgh in the first two games, or what they wanted to do at least. Maybe not have to, but at least what they wanted to do in splitting on the road. So they take Game 2, and this is all for naught, because then they're going home with a split 1-1, and they're not going to care whether it's Game 1, Game 2, whenever it was. Taking one on the road is kind of what you want to do in a playoff series. Penguins, they don't have the same mindset going to San Jose. They want to at least get one out of it. And they now have the cushion that they don't have to necessarily get more because they come back to Pittsburgh by just getting that, thanks to the game one win. But you just can't have periods like the second for Pittsburgh. It was a slower paced period. There was more puck possession by San Jose. Penguins really took it to him in the first period. I mean, Jones facing 41 shots against. The Penguins have consistently, since really the Washington series, peppering the goalie with shots and bringing you the shots on net. We saw, even going to Game 7, Game 6 especially, in the Tampa Bay Eastern Conference Finals, no matter how the talent might be even, no matter what that Lightning team is doing, even with Stamkos returning in Game 7, it doesn't matter when you're not getting enough shots and you're just getting destroyed in puck possession and shots on net. Because the Penguins just have a higher percentage of scoring and more opportunities to score. Makes sense. It's not analytics or any genius discovery. It makes sense. The more time with the puck, the greater your puck possession percentage, and the more shots you have on net that are quality, of course, but just in general too, the more chances you have to score. The Penguins are bringing you a championship-level puck possession dominance for several series in a row, but certainly through the later games of the Eastern Conference Finals leading them to win the Eastern Conference Championship, and now here in Game 1 of the Cup Final, at least overall throughout those three periods. San Jose, 26 shots at Matt Murray, which is okay, but still not close to the Penguins, 41. You're almost around half. So Penguins doubling up these opponents, it's going to help you. If everything's even, these are deep teams. This is even deeper than Tampa Bay was, really. Why many of them are picking them to beat the Penguins going into this series. They're even deeper than the Penguins, and they're healthier than Tampa Bay was without their best player except for Game 7 in Stamkos, who was still used sparingly. But San Jose is deeper, maybe the deepest team they've played yet in these playoffs, including even Washington. Might be as deep as the Penguins, maybe even deeper, probably not as deep, probably not deeper based on what we've seen from these role players I keep harping on, but they have an argument, and they're definitely deeper than Tampa. They're getting doubled up in shots, almost doubled up in shots. So the percentage for the Penguins, the more opportunities for the Penguins are really what led them to that one-goal win. They hung on, they got one late goal, but they're almost doubling up in shots, they're doubling up in quality chances, they're doubling up in puck possession, total time with the puck, all of that. All those stats you want. The Penguins have had it since the Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals. Even more so against Tampa Bay, but enough here against the Sharks. If you're almost doubling up somebody in all those stats, puck possession, shots on net, scoring chances, quality shots, you're going to win these games. You're going to win these playoff games. You're going to be a Stanley Cup champion when you're doing it to your opponent already in the Stanley Cup Final. And that's right now what the Penguins have done through Game 1. But I would expect adjustments. The opponent's trying to. They're very, very good. They're here for a reason. I would expect adjustments from the Sharks. I would expect guns blazing. I would expect them to get hot. If maybe they get a goal and jump out early on you in Game 2, maybe it could pose a different story because they had to come back from behind most of this game or else be tied. You just don't know. Nothing is guaranteed, but you're feeling pretty, pretty good after Game 1. Penguins lead the series 1-0 and win Game 1 3-2. And I'm going to, I don't think I've ever done this on a broadcast anywhere, whether I'm appearing, whether I'm hosting, whether I'm co-hosting, whether I'm calling a game. I don't think anywhere in any broadcast, college, professionally, here, anywhere, I've ever read a tweet of my own. I've read tweets of somebody else's, but very rarely do I read tweets of my own. You can go to @MikeAuthor11 and get my Twitter gold there, and that's Astronaut Entertainment at a maximum. And premium for you, but I don't think I've ever read one of my tweets. I've had a co-host read my tweets on a show I've been on. I don't read my own tweets. I dare you to find something I've read my own tweets. But I'm going to read this one. So we're going to break this tweet. And I quote @MikeAuthor11. That's how you win a Stanley Cup final. You jump on them early. You hang on through a tough stretch. You ignite late. Pens lead SCF 1-0. And it's a zero, not O, folks. That summarizes it. You jump on early. You hang on through a tough stretch because in a Stanley Cup final, when you're facing a good team, playoff game, you're going to have a tough stretch. You're not going to dominate everybody. It's not going to be as easy because maybe it seemed early, and you hang on late, go clutch late, and you win a big, important playoff game, especially important when it's a Stanley Cup Final opening game. Penguins do that. The Penguins win game one of the Stanley Cup Final in 2016, 3-2 your score. They lead in the series 1-2-0. I'm going to wrap things up and give your ears a break as you keep on getting excited for game two. More me, more the Penguins winning, hopefully, and closer to a Stanley Cup title. For everybody at PensInitiative.com and even PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, our cousin site, as we're calling it now, go there for the Penguin coverage all the way through the Stanley Cup Final, the articles, the previews, the game recaps, the Asinine Entertainment, the fun, even some memes, these podcasts, so my voice, maybe I'll get a co-host or two and some guests for the rest of the Cup Final. This was our only broadcast throughout the whole playoffs, but it was just me. We had somebody else on with me the whole rest of the way, so we've had a nice batting average. And if you're nor with me, that's fine. I'm a heel. I expect it. I kind of want it, but you're still listening if you're hearing this. So what are you doing? Why aren't you going to bed? Why aren't you having a better lunch break if you're listening to this archive in the afternoon tomorrow? And also make sure, because we got to get this on there, this broadcast, as well as all our broadcasts throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially here during the Stanley Cup Final, are powered by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com. So, for everybody at PensInitiative.com, I am your host, Mike Osti, and this was some Radio Gold, some Stanley Cup Radio Gold here in the Game 1 edition of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final. Penguins win 3-2. They lead the Stanley Cup Final 1-0. 2-0. 2-0. However you want to say it, the Penguins got one win. The opponent has yet to pick up that one win. Penguins win 3-2. They lead the series 1-0. And this has been our version of gold, as the Penguins' pursuit of the NHL's version of gold, the Stanley Cup, continues here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. Come on. Sicker than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit. Stink pink gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. It's the head right. Biggie there. Air night. Papa been fooled since days of under rules. Never lose. Never choose to. Bruce, cruise who? Do something to us. Come on. Talk goes through us. Girls want to us. Wanna do us. Screw us. Us? Yeah, Papa and Pop, close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3, bang every MC easily. Take that. Recently, niggas front ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my piece, keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus piece, with my peace, packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words is hypnotizing, and I just love your flashy ways. Yes, it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Yes, it's why they're broken, you're so mean. I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty bought a coochie. Now he's the real dookie. Meaning who's really the shit? The niggas ride dick. Frank White push the stick. Called the Lexus. LX. 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast sweeper. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and broads. Tits and broads.